Hello, we've been expecting you. It's true because I'm Mother Goose, and I heard you walk up. Anyway, welcome to the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Whether you're a charmer, a deary, an evil regal, a kick-ass Team 7, or whatever you are all welcome here. Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California are the hosts. They are just the best. Oh, but come in, dears. Now, you can listen with the rest of us, but don't be shy. Here, this magical voice will tell you how to be part of the podcast.
Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626.
Okay. Are you comfortable? Got your cocoa with whipped cream and cinnamon? Okay. Here comes Jeff and Colleen.
Ta-da! So, thank you so much, Alira.
Yep.
Very,
awesome.
Very, very, very good. So, little bit of tweaks here and there. I'm not completely done, but that is really the general gist of what I was going for. So, excellent, excellent work. Thank you so much. And with that, we're going to jump into, let's do some emails. Let's do some news.
Oh,
we have some news to discuss.
Okay.
Today is Nat's birthday.
Yes, it is.
So we need to wish huge happy birthdays to Nat. Happy birthday.
Yay. Happy birthday, Nat.
We're not going to say how old you are because nobody likes to talk about that. So
most ladies don't reveal their age. Some of us do, though. Some of us are willing to reveal our age because we've earned it.
Or I don't want to talk about my age. Anyhow, so happy birthday, Nat.
Happy birthday.
As we get to the end of season one, I think back over time and just when I first bumped into Nat on Twitter. And so just really, really great memories and just so cool how this whole show has kind of evolved and really great, really great stuff. So happy birthday to Nat.
Yes.
And I also wanted to bring up the Holly Mom homeless charity she's helping put together.
Yes.
And we're kind of pushing and hopefully people are getting involved, and it ends on May the 20th. So if you haven't sent some clothes for the homeless to the address that's in this link I'm going to be sending out right now, if you are listening and want to get involved, obviously if it's after the 20th and you're hearing this, it's too late, but it's charity and the number one dot onceuponatimepodcast.com, and that's going to give you all the information that you need. Again, it ends on May the 20th. So if you haven't got involved, it's time to really get it done. So there is the link there.
Yep.
All right. So Charmers, listen up. Josh Dallas will be live tweeting during the finale. And I want to thank David B. for letting us know about this. A lot of exciting stuff happening tomorrow, besides the finale, of course. So this is really great. And I'm going to tweet out this link here.
Nice.
For the Josh Dallas live tweet during the finale. And looking forward to that for sure. The Once Upon a Time fan site is holding he called it a post-finale debate, but I think they're going to be talking. I don't think it's going to be a debate like we're used to in a college.
You never know.
Well, anyway, it's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the onceuponatimefans.co.uk site.
Okay.
And Gareth is on Twitter, and it's at onceuponafan. So I'm going to tweet that link. And one more little chatting party tomorrow is going to be Barbara Barnett over at blogcritics.org is going to have a chat going on at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Sweet.
So I'm going to tweet that out as well. The world will be partying tomorrow.
Yes. Right. Yeah, it's pretty epic tomorrow. And do we have any, I think, is that all of our announcements?
Nope. So really quick, if somebody can scroll back up and tweet out the link for the, if you have any issues, it looks like somebody has some questions about ad block and that kind of thing. So anyway, there's a Dearies project for you Dearies.
Yes.
So Weedy, need mm-hmm. to pay attention to this.
Yes, I'm here. Listening.
And I'm going to put up a link. And there's a project that they're getting involved in, and I want everyone to check it out. Especially the Dairies, because they are definitely an interesting part of the show. And we always want to keep Mr. Gold happy.
Yes.
And Rumpelstiltskin as well. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anyway, please take a look at that. I'm going to put that in the show notes as well.
Cool.
So there is a wiki. I don't know if people know what a wiki is.
I think most people
do. You know
do.
What a wiki is?
I think it stands for what I know is.
Okay.
I don't
you know
if that's
I did
what it
not
really
know.
Does.
I did not know that.
I don't know if that's what it really stands for, but that's what I say, because pretty much it's a place where anybody can put their information that they know, quote unquote.
So a wiki to me is kind of a smaller website. And there's places you can put information, links, and that kind of a thing.
Well, it's geared towards information.
Yes.
It's not geared towards opinion. It's supposed to be factual information is what you should be putting in wikis.
Okay.
I know people don't adhere to that, but that's ultimately what I think it was created for.
I'm going
that's
to...
That's my opinion.
There is one Once Upon a Time wiki, and David B., thank you, David B., mm-hmm. let us know about this. So I'm going to send out some links to that.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. There's one general, and then there's one about Once Upon a Time season one. So I'm going to get that here.
All righty.
All right. Cool. And this is very exciting. I have a winner of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast Logo Contest.
Sweet.
There's a number of submissions, and the winner is, drum roll please, Marilyn. I want to thank Marilyn for sending in her logo design. It's fantabulous, and that means great. And I'm going to send out a link so you can take a look at it.
Nice.
There it is. Thank you so much, Marilyn. It is great. Okay. Excellent. So we're all winners because we like Once Upon a Time,
well,
but Marilyn is the winner. And what I'm going to send Marilyn is I'm going to send her my copy of the journal I got at WonderCon, the Once Upon a Time journal. So a very special thing that not many people have.
That's true.
And people can buy it on eBay for crazy prices, but I'm going to give it to Marilyn as a great prize. So Marilyn, please get me your address and I'll email you and we'll get it to you.
Yep.
All right. So that's all the news. So we are going to jump into some fantastic emails tonight.
Cool.
So here we go. We have got info from our connection in Steveston.
Sweet.
And I have information that is very recent, that they are actually tearing up Moncton Street.
Oh.
For paving.
Really?
Yes. And so I will read a little bit of the information I have. And it says, notice that the main street of Storybrooke, Moncton Street, is tore up for repavement. Madam Mayor, I'm reading here from this email. Madam Mayor must have had a few dollars left over in her town budget or made some extra money from the sale of her apples before they rotted. Rumor has it they will resume filming season two around mid-July, so they better have the street paved by then. And let's see. Further to confirm, The July return is a note left by Mr. Gold on his shop door. And the note says, off to fairy tale land. This is the truth. Off to fairy tale land for the season. See you in July, Mr. Gold. It's
posted on the window of the shop. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So anyhow, that's info from Storybrooke, if you will. But it's actually Steveston. So.
Yes.
All right. So next email is from Dwight. Says, hi, Jeff, Colleen, and Louie. Oh, Louie.
Louie.
Louie gets a shout out. I'm so happy. So is Louie. Two more theories to wrangle over. I don't think we're giving Mr. Gold / Rumpelstiltskin nearly enough credit. We'll see what you say. I think I give him a lot of credit. Now that it's been confirmed that travel between Storybrooke and Fairytale Land involves both time and space, since Jefferson plucked an apple from time well before Snow and Prince Charming were even married, I think a new theory should be put out there for your consideration regarding his son, Balefire. If I were Rumpelstiltskin, I wouldn't tolerate missing even a moment of my son's life. Given that Rumpel knew in advance that the curse would last at least 28 years before it would be broken, I'm speculating that maybe he arranged for the curse to place everyone into Storybrooke a good 28 years or more before Balefire's eventual arrival.
Oh.
That's a great... Wow.
Well, now that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is really interesting. Because if everybody's there and she does break the curse and then Balefire arrives... Well, that's a fascinating thing.
Let me continue. There's a little bit after that, which continues on. I think this is supported by the fact that Mr. Gold doesn't seem overly anxious or impatient with the time it's taking to break the curse. I believe he, as usual, has everything figured out such that the curse will drop in time for him to leave Storybrooke, travel to where Balefire will appear, his travel plans, mm-hmm. as referred to in the last episode,
mm-hmm.
and be there to meet him as soon as his son comes through. That is solid. So somebody gets a bingo for wow. that. But that's beyond. That is wow. That's great.
Now the question is, though, how does he know when Balefire is going to arrive?
Well, like Dwight's saying, if you plan it out right.
If he does plan it out right, that's mm-hmm. true. I mean, yeah, that's. That is a crazy awesome theory.
Now, early on, there was some fool that was saying that Rumpelstiltskin and Mr. Gold, especially Rumpelstiltskin, was traveling through time. Who was that fool?
That would be you.
That was me. Thank you. All right, then. All those crazy people that called me nutty. See, Dwight's telling the truth over here. Anyhow, no, this is great. Man. Great, Dwight. Okay, I'll continue. Number two, this one is a bit further out there. No, there's nothing too far. We're talking about time traveling Doctor Who Rumpelstiltskin. That's what we're talking about. Now that we also know that some magic items retained their power when they came through to Storybrooke, such as the Queen's Ring, it seems to make more sense for Mr. Gold to have hidden his knife in the woods to keep it from the Queen. That's another great point.
Yep, very good point.
Wow. And further, we can be certain that the knife didn't, in fact, work for August Booth when he took possession of it. I wouldn't put it past Mr. Gold to pretend it didn't work, but maybe it was all a bluff. Poor August didn't even try to give him a second command. I find it interesting that since that altercation in the woods, the one time August came to Mr. Gold in the pawn shop to ask for his help, Mr. Gold agreed to help with no strings attached. Maybe Mr. Gold didn't really have any choice in the matter. Anyway, some food for thought. What do you think, Dwight from Washington State? Thanks, Dwight.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's great.
Here's what I'm going to go with that second theory yep. a little yep. bit and say, I think he didn't have any strings attached because that's exactly what he wanted to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why. He has to know what the reason is. So for him to have put any strings would have made August maybe even more suspicious. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Who knows? It'll be interesting to find out in season two.
Well, if we're the only person that received this email, this is a great scoop.
Yeah, it is.
So
love it.
Anyway, very, very good. And Thank you so much. Well, the Regina actually made a point. She goes, you designed it this way.
Yeah. He designed it.
So it wouldn't put, I wouldn't put it past him for all this precision.
Right. Right.
And okay, let's build onto that. What about all that discussion? Remember his discussion with King George.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to know precisely where.
He needed the location of the fairy godmother.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. No, that.
The irony mm-hmm. of that is he wanted to know her location, but he was able to tell Snow and Prince Charming exactly where the Queen and Snow White were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Yeah. There's reasons behind all of what he says and does.
Hmm.
That's interesting great. To see how that comes out.
That's great. Thanks again, Dwight. Very, very cool. All right. This is from Melinda, the 3J's mom. Hi, Melinda. She's in the chat room. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. Can't believe this week is our finale. Neither can I. Me and my daughter both started getting teary at the end of this week's episode. Colleen, too. Here are a few of my thoughts from this week. What's up with all those knives in Mr. Gold's shop? For the last few weeks, they have been on display. It makes me think of the enchanted silverware from Beauty and the Beast. I am still in shock that Henry took a bite of that turnover. I wonder if he is in a deep sleep like Snow, or if he can actually die. If he dies, Regina will really be on her last limb, or she'll really be up a creek by Emma. I wonder if Bale and August ever crossed paths in his endeavors. I'm surprised that Mr. Gold didn't ask him yet. I don't know that Mr. Gold kind of wants the whole. Well, no, he told Archie. He said, "I'm looking for my son." Well, thanks for the wonderful podcast as usual, Melinda. Thank you so much,
thanks, Melinda.
So
yeah, I saw a bunch of scissors too in the shop, sitting in a jar right near the counter when he was standing there, and yeah, that caught my eye as well. And what that led me to think of was actually they look like sewing scissors, so it led me to think of the Hatter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's all kinds of stuff, and it is very interesting how everything just kind of gets a prominent place at some point in time. I didn't think about the silverware. That's a pretty good pull.
What I'm finding, to me, mm-hmm. is that they're really going with the main characters, and they're not going with the side characters. I'm telling you, that guy that's in King George's marketplace that was ordering people around, and he was like the answer guy. He looked like Hogsworth to me, with the hair and
yes.
very precise, and
yes.
he would be in charge of who goes where and who does what.
Right.
And there's still a clock shop we haven't seen inside yet
right.
in Storybrooke.
No, that's so true. That's very true.
You know, possibly.
Very, very true.
So.
And then as far as Henry yeah. taking a bite, I actually suspected when I saw him look at that, I went, I know what he's going to do. Because he knew that the only way to get Emma to believe was to prove that it was poisoned.
Right.
So when he took a bite, he took a risk because he must have known that she'd do whatever she could to save him. He actually took a major risk, made a big sacrifice so that she'd believe. And what... You know, is he sleeping? Is he in a coma? I kind of think he's like in a coma, like John Doe, you know, David was when we first saw him. And yeah. I think what's going to wake him up is Emma's going to kiss him, because a mother's kiss, there's no truer love than a mother's love for her son or child.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's going to happen, is that Emma's going to kiss him. Now, whether we see him wake up tomorrow night or if they save that for season two, we don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's just my prediction of what's going on there.
And as far as Regina without Henry, you know, that is possible that she could be out of options, but I think mm-hmm. she might find other options.
Mm-hmm.
She's very crafty, that Regina.
Oh, very.
She always has something. She's just two steps ahead and just never really... She has a new shovel. She has something ready to go.
Right.
So, all right. So, anyway, Bale and August, And that is interesting. The more we really think about August being in Phuket and all of his travels and all that, is if Bale is somewhere else, it's strange, but it makes sense that these fairy tale characters who are in the real world seem to find each other. They just do. And they, it's magical. Well, there you go.
It's meant to be.
Right. So, yes. And let's see here. Yep. And I think either Mr. Gold is leisurely looking for Bale or he is waiting.
I think he's not able to yet. I think there's something that has to happen in order for him to find Balefire. I don't think he's able to do that right now.
I'm putting a small amount of money.
Yeah.
Because I don't have much. A small amount of money. On the only way to wake up Henry is somebody has to do something. And I'm fairly certain it's going to be Emma. And it's going to be something she doesn't want to do. And it's way beyond her belief system. And that's going to be one of the things that wakes her up. So, I mean, that kind of falls into, you know, stories. So
yes, and that's why I say her kissing him on the forehead or something like that is going to be the thing that wakes him up. And she'll probably figure it out because she'll grab the book. Because we saw in the trailer that she's going to see the book. She's going to look at it. And I think she's going to open it up and on a whim just happen to find the page that talks about Charming kissing Snow. And that's going to give her the idea.
Yeah.
And she knows the story of Snow White, and if she knows the story of Snow White, and if she understands and starts to think back about who the mayor is, then she'll realize, okay, poison apple, okay, and so then that's what she'll end up doing. She's a smart girl. She'll figure it out. But I think she is going to end up kissing him on the forehead.
Because
that's what I think. Okay. No, I was done.
I think that saying you love your son and hanging out with your son, but really loving deep down and committing yourself, because she did give Henry up for adoption. And sometimes that's a good choice, right?
Right.
But I think reclaiming that I am your mom, I think for Emma is going to take a lot more than just a court case or something like that. And I think what we may see tomorrow or we're going to see in the future.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The Melinda also emailed back and said something about the Snow White taking all the knives out.
Yeah.
And actually, so she mentioned the scene in Pirates of the Caribbean. And Tyler also emailed a very similar thing. There was a scene in Stargate he was talking about. Mm. And then there's a scene in Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. Mm. And that was with Keira Knightley. Where she was taking all those guns and everything out, the knives and stuff. Taking all her weapons out in Singapore.
Yes,
and
yes.
So, you know, it's funny, Lee was there in both times.
Yes, he
and
was.
And he was even talking to Snow White, you know, about a term I don't know if I should say on the air, but he was saying you could hide him anywhere. There's that. So, Melinda also asked about where the bingo card is. And I know there was a link kind of floating around. So if someone could post a link in the chat room, I have allowed links. And then also send it to me, and then we'll do a blog post about it or something.
Cool.
So thanks. So thank you, Melinda. Appreciate that.
And yes, we do.
All right. And this is from our winner, Marilyn.
Nice.
She sent an email. Thank you so much. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. What a great podcast. But I can hardly believe that the season is almost at an end. Tomorrow it will be, Marilyn.
Yes.
It is a sad thing. So, yeah. You know what it's like? It's like you are visiting your true love. Right. And so I just heard a bunch of women go, oh, and tomorrow they get on a plane.
Oh, dude.
And they go away and you get to see them one more time.
Yep.
But then they go on a plane for a while. So, yeah, that's That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like.
I don't want to bring everybody down. Let me keep reading the email.
Okay.
All right. Just a couple of comments. As always, I love this verbal sparring between Mr. Gold and Regina. It left me wanting more. And I mentioned this before, is it reminds me of Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty. And I definitely, obviously, a lot of people have seen the Sherlock Holmes now with Robert Downey Jr.
and Jude Law.
But my mom showed me the early ones with Basil Rathbone. And that was my first exposure to the calm, cool, collected mental warring between two very smart and great foes. And so Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty didn't have to hit each other. Nope. Didn't have to get a gun.
Nope.
But it's just they planned out so well these different traps and things. So it's that same type of thing where both respect the other. And it's like the Joker and Batman. It's that same type of they need each other, but they're just so mad. They have all these plans and they just, the other keeps messing it up. So
yeah.
As I have been convinced that Jefferson fell into the hat and out of Regina's reach when Mary Margaret booted him out the window, I was surprised to see him summoned back to Storybrooke by her. It left me wondering where he has actually been all of this time. There is another email coming that's going to be talking about this, so I don't know if you had...
Okay. No,
answer.
I don't, and that's the thing I've been wondering, is that did he in fact, well, okay, so here's something. If the hat lets you go through time and space, but obviously it didn't work, because where's the magic? What magic did he have?
Right.
We just saw in the last episode that he didn't, that you have to have some magic in order to do it, and you have to have an awful lot of it in order for it to actually work, to go be able to transport your person. But that leaves us, well, what magic did he have? I don't think he had any. That was the whole point of why he couldn't get where he needed to be. So where exactly did he go? By the time they got to the window, I mean, I suppose he could have crawled away somewhere. I mean, it's just, it's wild how he just disappeared out of nowhere. So where was he? Where was he?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a trap door in the house and they didn't know about it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like under the basement or something like that?
Sure. Yeah.
He said 28 years to do stuff to that house.
So let's put this on the we don't know right now little list.
Yeah, I'd like to see what happened with that, and hopefully they'll show us at some point in time.
All right.
We'll see.
I find it a bit ironic, still reading here, that Emma was a bounty hunter tracking down criminals on the run, since it seems that she is prone to running away herself when the pressures get to be too much for her to handle. And I just want to aside, I was watching an earlier episode when Sydney was talking to Regina and said that she doesn't like to stay in one place very long.
No, she doesn't.
She goes hither and yon and all that. Did I just say that? Hither and yon.
You did. Wow. You did indeed.
All right. The thought of having all of Storybrooke depending on her terrifies her into flight. I am looking forward to when we get to see more scenes of how her past has influenced her character. Finally, I don't know about anyone else, but I am getting rather upset with ABC for spoiling major plot points in the weekly OUAT promos. This time they showed Henry with the apple turnover in hand falling to the floor. The minute I realized that Regina was going for the poison apple, I knew the outcome because of the promo. It would just have been nice to be surprised. Thanks for your great podcast, Marilyn. And Marilyn, you are not... Spoilers, and once upon a time, it's an active conversation.
Yes.
There is never a calm way to discuss it with a group of folks.
No, because you have two camps.
Yeah. Well, you have like
two.
You got more.
Two. Yeah. Technically, okay. Two. Two camps. People who like spoilers, who want them, who crave them, who look for them, who are okay with having them thrust at them. And the rest of us who absolutely hate them because we like to be surprised.
Yep.
There's
like
no
I
other,
said, like I said, people,
option.
there's no calm way to discuss it.
Nope.
All right. So here is an email from David B. Jeff, it might even take a few more TVC seasons, but at some point Emma will die. This is what David B. said long time ago. I think it was episode 2, mm-hmm. way back. That seemed evident even after watching the first couple of episodes, as I told you last September. That's true. Episode 21, Mr. Gold to Regina. We both know the repercussions in killing Miss Swan. Gold and Regina together, the curse would be broken. So, yep. And that's straight out there. It's right there. So, all right. And a lot of people are calling this a game-changing finale.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, you know, that's a great term, but it seems just the what I'm hearing is
yeah
that is the case.
Yeah.
All right. This is Tim Peters. Yay, season 2. Jeff, dare you to count all those exclamation points. 1, 2. Oh, there's a lot. Tim, a.k.a. Mr. 42 here with some thoughts from Apple Red as Blood. First thought on Regina and Mr. Gold's first meeting. You have nothing I want. What Queenie should have said, there is a certain Miss French who has been eager to see you.
So. Hmm. Yes.
Second, Regina said, I have a few scraps of magic. This is an almost direct quote from this awesome Christmas special, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, where the characters, including a winter warlock, are in jail, and the warlock has a broken wand and some magic cards and something that can make a reindeer fly. Useless, right? On fairies, yeah. Awesome, Rolgrum, and Nova sighting. If Nova is there, as you say, we did not notice that when we were watching. Then was it Grumpy that convinced her to convince Blue Fairy to come and aid Snow? Just an interesting thought that we probably will not get to see. And that's true. I think, yeah, he had a favor.
He said, I know somebody who owes me a favor. But here's what I think. I think it was the Blue Fairy that owes him the favor.
Hmm.
Do you know why? Because she's the one who convinced Nova to not run away with him.
Right.
And I think that because she made him unhappy and made him grumpy, changed his name, he pretty much feels like she owes him that. So that was where I think that. I don't think it was that he went to Nova because he still loves Nova, I'm sure. And I think it would have been too painful for him.
Well,
but that's just me.
He, in fact, does love Nova because we haven't seen the diamond situation
correct,
yet.
Correct.
So it's... He's still...
That is true. That is true.
He's still head over pickaxe for Nova. So.
He is.
We're Astrid. Either way. Mm-hmm. All right. On Jefferson, where have you been all this time? If not in Wonderland or in an enchanted forest, then where? Hiding with the Catman or in the boarded up library or just chilling in the forest? Maybe he's talking to Graham in the forest. Oh, no, Graham's not there.
No.
Maybe the Catman's there. Maybe the Catman is living by that well, drinking that magic water. Maybe it's Bellfire. Maybe Bellfire is the Catman, and he keeps drinking the water, and it just changes him. I don't know.
Let's keep going.
All right. On the whole, where Regina keeps her magic thing, I definitely think it was Henry's tomb, and I think they said that, they said as much. Oh, I disagree. Henry's tomb was, there's no spider webs, and it didn't have a window.
I
disagree. I disagree.
Well, and that's the thing is we looked at both of them and we decided that unless it's off to the left somewhere, it's not the same room.
Yeah.
The floor was not the same. The floor in the tomb in under Henry's tomb had no pattern on it. This floor had a beautiful, intricate circle pattern where the middle circle was red and surrounded by a few other circles that were multicolored.
Right. But that was off to the left of the main area in front of the heart vault.
I still think that that's what I'm saying is that I don't think it's, it doesn't appear to be the same room, same area, unless where they ended up is somewhere to the left of where we originally saw her go down into the tomb for.
Okay. This is what we're going to do. Tim, we're going to take a trip up there to Storybrooke and we're going to look in the cemetery. We're going to find that. We're going to go down there. And we're going to... No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that.
Do you think Regina would let us?
No.
I don't think so.
All right. On Henry eating the turnover. Wow. Brave sacrifice, kid. If this does not get Emma to believe, nothing will. And that's exactly why I think he did it. On turnovers and cinnamon hot chocolate. I will not be at Disneyland, but you should find a restaurant that sells these items and have everybody order one. And have the waiter look on you strangely. You know what? I don't think they will. I think they'll know exactly what we're talking about.
At Disneyland?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I really think so.
Perhaps a waiter will get it, which would be awesome. Yeah, they might.
excuse me. Unless, of course, it's a fan of the show.
Right.
But not just anybody.
I think there's a lot of fans of the show.
Well, I know there's lots of fans of the show. Just the odds of them actually working at Disneyland is pretty slim, in my opinion.
All right. You okay? Need a little sip?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
A little green tea or something? All right. Anyway, see you guys around. Big love to all the fans, the deputies, Team 7, Evil Regals. Does Rumpelstiltskin have a team name? Yes. And he said... Goldies is my choice. That's a good one. But Deary's is what they're called. Rumpelstiltskin fans. Tim, a.k.a. Mr. 42, saying, and they all lived happily ever after because they got season 2. Yes. Fantastic.
Definitely.
Absolutely. You don't know how happy I was when I saw that. I asked, because I saw the deputies tweet it out, and I checked with the deputies, and I said... Is this for sure? So it's kind of like high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when your mom says the girl that you want to take out called you and say, Mom, really give me the name. Are you sure it's that one? So it's the same thing. And the deputies told me for sure. And then I was happy. I was very, very happy.
Yep. So we know for sure, for sure, for sure. It's official. We can talk about it like crazy. It's awesome.
All right. So David B. has some wild... David B. sent a few emails this week. So here is his speculations.
Okay.
Is if Once Upon a Time finale is going to be a game-changing, as all the hype indicates, here's my wild speculation. In episode 21, Regina gave something with magic to Jefferson in order to retrieve the apple from a past event, Snow White falling down into a deep sleep. So is it possible there is some magic left and Regina then gets Jefferson to retrieve something even more powerful from her palace, maybe a magic pendant, that is given to Regina in Storybrooke. Then Regina uses it to transport one or more of the people from Storybrooke back to Fairy Tales Land, past, including Henry. I would imagine her father.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, for example, Mary Margaret gets to meet herself, Snow White, in a type of sideways, TV season, another reality. Or, when they transport back to Fairy Tale Land, their other self is not there. E.g., when Mr. Gold goes back to Fairy Tale Land's past, Rumpelstiltskin is no longer there. When Regina gets back, their evil queen is not there. She must interact with others as Regina, no magical powers, not the evil queen. I think some sort of sideways season 2 is very possible, given who is producing the series. I think there is weight to what you're saying. We'll see.
Yeah.
We will see. So I want to do something different.
Okay.
We're going to play a game, and I need your help.
Okay.
So the game is, who said that?
I'm sorry.
So the game is called, who said that? Oh. The Once Upon a Time.
You
admission.
Sound kind of mad about it. Like you don't believe they actually said it.
Well, I was trying to kind of, like, I'm thinking, who said that?
How's okay, that? That's better. Because who said that? Okay. Like, who said that? Are you kidding okay. me? That's a bunch of crap. That's so what it sounded like when you first said it. All right. So let's try it again. Take three or four.
Who said that? All right. Maybe I'll have to have Alira do the recording. Anyway, I'm going to play a little bit of a character saying something, and we need to guess who the character
okay.
is.
Okay.
So here's one.
Emma. What a lovely name. You enjoy your stay. Emma.
Any guesses?
Are you asking me or are you looking for the chat room?
No, let's look at the chat
okay.
room.
Okay, the chat room. Who said that, I wonder? Oh, Marilyn posted Mr. Gold. She's right.
Mr. Gold. Absolutely. So we'll do one more and then we'll do another voicemail.
Madam Mayor,
you're Henry's birth mother?
Other than Hi. Being a tired little boy, Henry's fine.
I'll just...
Okay.
Who was that?
Yeah.
Hawk posted Graham, correct.
Absolutely. So we'll play some more throughout, but I kind of want to intersperse them. So I just wanted to see if this worked. Everybody here okay? That one had a little bit of a problem, but anyway.
Yes.
So, sorry about that.
Yes, 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 yes.
So Alira has helped me out, and she has read two of the emails. I want to play the first one right now.
Cool.
Hello, this is Alira reading another email. This happens to be from Elizabeth from Ontario, Canada. And she writes, Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I wanted to let you two know how much I love the podcast. Listening to you guys talk about one of the best shows ever made relieves the boredom of the treadmill and my long commute to work. So thank you. I started listening late, and I'm still not fully caught up, so I apologize if this has been mentioned before, but I figure now is my last chance to get in my theories for this season, since the finale is this Sunday. My theory is that Rumpel needs James and Snow's hair to make the curse. He'd probably had the basics of the curse created for years, but needed a loophole in it, a way to get back to his world once he found Bay. In comes Snow White, asking for something to help her forget James. Perhaps Rumpel recognizes true love and knows, through premonitions or rumors, that James will come to look for Snow. So he takes her hair, and later James's, and is able to create the loophole within the curse, which states that only their child will be able to break it. I know it's a bit far-fetched, but it works in with the idea that he's been orchestrating everything from the beginning. It would also mean that he pretty much lied to Snow and James in the pilot, when he pretended to see the future, to know it would be their child and all. We already knew he lied a little when he said Regina created the curse, so why not a bit more? Now I need your help to settle a dispute between my mom and I. We often disagree when it comes to OUAT, and our latest disagreement has to do with the way the curse affected the personalities of the residents of Storybrook. My mom seems to think the curse changed them completely, turning sweet and fearless Snow into a meek teacher, and brave and noble James into a cheating coward. I don't believe the curse had the capabilities to change a person like that. Especially not since it was Rumpel who created it. His endgame was always to get Bay, not to meddle in everyone's lives. I believe that, despite how different everyone seems at first, they're still very much like the fairy tale selves. Snow was at one time quiet and innocent. It was after her father died that she had to become a fighter to protect herself. James had no reason to show his brave side before he became a prince. As a shepherd, I think he was a lot like David, not caring about anything other than his family and true love. I just think the noble decision James made originally to continue to be a prince and marry Abigail backfired when David tried to do the honorable thing. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on these theories. Elizabeth S., Ontario, Canada. Thanks, Elizabeth. Back to you, Jeff and Colleen.
That Alira's a champ.
She is.
She's a champ. I hope she never podcasts about anything I'm podcasting about, because she'd be really good.
I know.
All right. So, great email. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Yes.
Excellent. So, what do we think about Rumpel needing James's nose hair?
Yes. We figured out that And like she said, you know, she said she hasn't wasn't quite caught up. So we have discussed this before that we do believe that the whole point of this was that he did need their hair, their DNA, to make the curse. And I agree that it did it was a way for him to have some sort of loophole of sorts, but I don't know if it was so much a loophole to go back to fairy tale world as much as it was a loophole to have somebody who could break the curse. Because he had to have known that a curse that powerful would have to have some way to stop it. Otherwise, it would never end. And it would be beyond terrible unless somebody can break it. So that's what I think.
Now, let's see. All right. So the dispute about the characters.
Yes.
And their personalities. So I think that with the idea that magic costs something, I understand that magic and curses cost something.
They do.
To who is casting them.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that if you're removing magic, that you're removing part of the person. And if you're removing the fairy tale part out of someone, that changes them.
Well, so let's look at this. Before Regina took out her revenge on Snow in fairy tale world by killing her father, Snow was this sweet, innocent young child thing, right?
Right.
Then she went through a difficult period and became kind of more badass that we know.
Child things, kind of. You didn't mean child things.
No.
Child. Okay.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you said child thing. All right.
Anyway, I didn't mean that.
Okay.
She was an innocent child.
Yes.
Teenager, preteen, whatever.
Right.
As she started growing up, you can bet after her father died, it made her kind of toughen up a little bit, harden up a little bit, you know, grow up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're seeing that with Mary Margaret is that she started out in Storybrooke before Emma came in as this meek, mild-mannered teacher who just kind of went along with the flow. Now that Emma's there and things are starting to happen and move, we're starting to see her personality kind of shift to the Snow White thing. So there, I think it's not so much that it's changing them. I think it's paralleling their lives, so to speak. So the 28 years in Storybrooke is whatever they were before some thing happened in their life that made them maybe toughen up, grow up, what have you.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Same thing with James. I think that he was this sweet, mild-mannered, you know,
right,
shepherd, and then he fell in love with Snow, and then that kind of changed his personality and toughened him up, made him stronger, made him, you know, more... you know.
Now, we've talked about this kind of before, but I'm going to introduce a term that's been kind of bantied about a little bit. The term is reset. Okay?
Yes.
That has been done in that other show that some people don't like me to talk about. Lost. Okay?
Yes.
So, what I think is Storybrooke reset them in a way and gave them a fresh start to be who they should be. And
right.
If you were bad, you had the opportunity to do something better. And if you were great, you had the opportunity to kind of achieve that again. But it was almost like it was a do-over.
Yes.
It was you have the opportunity to start over. What are you going to do with your new opportunity in this land without magic?
Right. Without magic.
So, right.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think there's a point to it. And like I said, I don't know if it's necessarily their personalities are changing. I think it's their personalities are actually mirroring the way things were in fairy tale world before the curse hit.
Right. And
that's
and
what I think.
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say you don't know what you've got until it's gone. And I think maybe that in a way is what we have here. So all these people that had all this power and land and gold and all this, you don't have that now. So what are you going to do with it? You had the perfect relationship, maybe. You had married to the perfect person. What if you didn't have that? What choices would you make? Would you be true? What if someone said they were married to you and maybe that, you know, all these different things, the choices.
Right.
So choices have been discussed too. So what we're going to do, great email. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And we are going to end our first hour.
Okay.
And hang in there. We're going to have an after show, more fun. Surprises aplenty. Well, surprises are coming. So anyway, thank you for joining us and stay tuned for the after party. We'll talk soon. See you later.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceovers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceovers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.